Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to We Love No Other podcast from IlliniBoard.com. I am your host, Robert Rosenthal. The podcast episode you are about to listen to will be a yearly tradition. Used to be an article I'd write, and last year we did his podcast, and I want to keep doing it that way. This will be Craig and I choosing our guys. We used to do this in person at training camp. Was the first one a Camp Rantoul? Might have been a Camp Rantoul.
It's definitely a Camp Rantoul.
Yes. Yes. So the other person you're going to hear here, you know him from such bangers as Craig Has the Scout Akron and Craig Has the Scout Nebraska 2020. my guest for this is Craig. Craig, say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone. Excited to be back.
What do you think is, do you have in your mind, like, man, that was my best scout. I nailed that one. Like, do you have any kind of, you've been doing this, what, 7 years with us now?
2014 was my first year. So, I guess this would be
the ninth time doing it.
Ninth time going through.
Dang.
I think the best scout I ever did was the rainout game with Texas State. And the thing I got completely wrong there is that one of the guys I had as one of the keys to watch was the linebacker from Texas State who blew out his ACL that week before.
Oh.
Was announced out for the game. But in terms of what was going to happen,
yep,
I hit that one pretty well. So
yep.
And that was like in 2016, and I've gone completely downhill since then.
Well, it's going to be the 2022 is going to be your big comeback. okay, so what we used to do is stand on the sideline and be like, yeah, I think 2014, you were there for like 4 days or something like that. Or
I spent the whole week there in 2014. That's correct, yeah.
So we would just stand next to each other on the sideline in Rantoul and be like, oh, that's a nice play. Oh, did you see that?
I would try to convince you that DeJuan Spoot was going to be a star.
That's exactly right. Yes, our friendship began around me like, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. As he's still in the NFL.
Just had a very nice contract with the Dolphins.
Yes. We decided that year, I'm like, well, we're sitting here saying, like, here's my guy. Oh, this guy's my guy. We might as well put it in an article. So we picked our teams, put it in an article. We did it every year until the COVID year. We didn't do it during the COVID year just because of all the weirdness and the season restarting on October 23rd and everything else. So last year we had to drop one of our categories, which was keeper picks. Now we can bring it back because we can find a keeper pick on our team. So let's just start here by going through our teams from last year. And I just want to say, okay, you won the teams last year by a significant amount. You did. My pick of Gerasotti, my pick of Peyton Vining, like I cost myself in a couple categories. You took my walk-on, let's be fair here, the snake draft hurt me, but I'm just going to go through it and we'll talk about who our teams are. So here were the seven categories we drafted last year. We pick an offensive star and a defensive star. We pick an offensive breakout player and a defensive breakout player. We pick a offensive player for the future, has to be kind of freshman or sophomore, a defensive player for the future, and then we just pick the walk-on. Craig's team last year, Daniel Barker is his offensive star, Calvin Hart, defensive star, which I questioned the pick at the time, and then he's Big Ten Player of the Week in the opening game. Isaiah Williams, offensive breakout player, ding. Defensive breakout, Seth Coleman, you might try to go for it again. He got passed by Isaiah Gay, but Coleman started the first four games. Future offense, you had Reggie Love. Future defense, Dylan Rosiak, and your walk-on was one Tip Ryman, who went on scholarship on September like 9th or something. So 2 weeks after we picked this, he was no longer a walk-on. But he's probably the number one tight end this year, and that was a fantastic pick. My team, Chase Brown. Okay, I'll take it. Defensive star, rusher, Jake.
You got to take that.
Yes. Jake Hansen, unfortunate injury, 5-6 games into the season. That really hurt. Offensive breakout player, I went with Blake Jarisotti. He did start the first four games, but was eventually replaced by Jack Bedovenak. My defensive breakout player, I'm really happy with this one. I went with Keith Randolph. Future offense, I'm still happy with this one. I went with Pat Bryant. Future defense, this is, I mean, I've been hyping this kid since he verbaled, so why stop now? It's Keyonte Curry. And then for my walk-on, I wanted Tip Ryman. You took him, so I took Peyton Vining, who actually switched from wide receiver to defensive back this year. I was hoping Vining did get in the Virginia game, and I was ready to text you like, my guy's in there, look out, walk on the field, check it out. But I think he only played in two or three games. So anyway, those are our teams last year. I'm giving you the victory based on just leading off with Barker, who's the third leading pass catcher. He's now transferred to Michigan State. Calvin Hart, obviously the injury, but still he had this. He was a revelation in the first game. And then you had Isaiah Williams as your offensive breakout. You start 1-2-3 like that. It's hard to beat a list. So we're gonna do it again. We're gonna pick our teams. We're gonna go through this, and we're bringing back keeper picks because we had teams last year. Couldn't do it last year because we didn't have a 2020 team, but keeper picks, we're opening up. So we'll start with the two keeper picks, and then we'll start the snake draft. So you just pick a guy from your list. I'll pick up a guy from my list. We put them one and two on our, number one on our list, and then we'll start our snake draft. So who are you keeping from last year?
It's pretty evident to me I'm going to keep Isaiah Williams.
Yes, I mean, this is like, you're going to keep Isaiah Williams. I'm going to keep Chase Brown. Section needs to be just 10 seconds long. Yes.
Yeah, the offense last year really needed a guy who could go do something. And Williams, I think, with a new offense, this is going to be even more imperative to how they're going to go do things. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to lean into Isaiah Williams as my keeper pick.
Yeah, and I just keep hyping, like, the Northwestern game. I tweeted during the game the meme from The Matrix of, like, what's he doing? He's beginning to believe. So, like, that Northwestern game to me was this, like, oh, wait, he's starting to get it here. Hold on a second. That's a wide receiver out there,
And he's starting to get it, and they're starting to figure out how to utilize him in a way that makes him very effective.
Yeah.
And I got a feeling Barry Lunny's kind of taken that and said, okay, we're going to build on what we got there.
Yes, I totally agree. And in this offense, he's probably even a bigger piece of what they're trying to do, based on what we saw at UTSA. He's going to be featured a lot. So, and I'm taking Chase Brown. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Look, he had 1,000 yards last year.
1,000-yard rusher. Absolutely.
Let's hope he can, 1,400 is maybe the goal, something like that. McCray may steal some of those yards, but, that's a no-brainer. Okay, so got that out of the way. Let's start our draft. We'll do a snake draft. So you have the first pick. I have the second and third pick, and we'll just keep going through the list like that. So first pick in the first round. The first round is offensive star. You get to choose your offensive star.
This one's tough because the two obvious choices are keeper picks, right? Chase Brown and Isaiah Williams.
Yes.
And you kind of look at what UTSA did last year, and if you can just try to translate that into what will happen at Illinois this year with Lunny.
Yep.
UTSA really put it together last year with a tight end who was really good, a wide receiver who put up monster numbers.
Yep.
A running back who put up big yards, but wasn't incredibly explosive, but he was just very consistent. And a QB who was just getting the ball out.
Yeah.
The running back who consistently gets yards, check. Explosive wide receiver, check. We just picked both of those two guys.
Yep.
So you're kind of in the tight end QB. I had Daniel Barker last year. I'm going to go ahead and lean into Tommy DeVito this year. I think he's the guy that's going to run this offense. And while he was at Syracuse, and I know there's, you keep saying there's a quarterback competition. Everybody else thinks that you're completely wrong.
Love it.
But I think there is a QB competition, but I think DeVito's the kind of guy that he needs to have a little bit of challenge to him. I think this quick hit offense is going to lay in very quickly or overlap very nicely with what he's done in the past. Syracuse, you know, they ran the Art Briles system up there, a variation of it. A lot of that is hitting receivers in open spaces. That's kind of what Lonnie's trying to go do. They call it Tim Pro, but it's a lot of go fast, get guys in mismatches, and go hit the guy who's wide open. I think DeVito is going to have kind of a revelation this year. So I'm going to lean into Tommy DeVito as the guy who's going to be my offensive star this year, who's not one of our keeper picks, because I think that they're going to end up having the kind of year that people are going to look back on and say, wow, that was a very surprising year.
Love it. Love it. I'm going to tease something here. Well, I'm not teasing it because it'll be up before I even publish this podcast. So I'm doing, training camp ended today, so I got to do a depth chart. My prediction before Monday, before we find out next week what the depth chart is. I doubt they'll release it on Monday, but, at least we'll find it on the field. And just because of all the blowback with my this is a competition, I'm absolutely putting Sitkowski as the starter on the depth chart. 100%. Are you kidding me? I mean, I think, look, I've done my 90 Illini list. We're at number 10 right now.
Yep.
I've already covered Sitkowski. I haven't covered DeVito. I think I've tipped my hand as to, which I think is the more important quarterback. However, because I still believe this is really a competition, I'm putting Sitkowski first on my depth chart tomorrow just to, make some waves. Oh, God, I can make even more waves by picking him here.
There you go. I was going to say, you're going to pick him here because we can have the competition right here.
Oh, well, I mean, look, the running back is gone. The leading receiver is gone. The offensive star. Oh, God. I mean, who is there? I mean, you can't really say offensive star and pick like Julian Pearl as a revelation at left tackle. That's not people. The people want a star. I'm not going to go with one of the tight ends. Do I go McCray? Do I go Casey Washington? Or do I pick Artur Sitkowski?
Artur.
Oh, God. You know what? Just so that we can laugh next year, I'm doing it. I am freaking doing it. For my offensive star for the season, ladies and gentlemen, even if he doesn't start, I still want to put this out there, and we'll laugh about it next year. I am choosing Art Sitkowski.
And I mean this with no offense to him. I hope he looks great carrying a clipboard this year.
Oh, you're my boy, Art. Let's go prove everyone wrong. Oh, my gosh. Now I'm going to get off the phone.
A lot of Twitter responses back in. Yeah, I was going to say a lot of Twitter responses back and forth between each other during the course of this season.
Well, you just wait till he comes off the bench in the second half of the Purdue game. Oh, God. I feel really good about this now. I feel really, really good. Okay, let's move on. We don't really need to talk about that because I really have no explanation for myself. defensive star. Do I do it? God, you know what? Anybody who is like drafting teams for like fantasy football or something, you know that when you have the feeling of like, should I do it? Should I really do it? Don't do it.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting here having that another one of those feelings. You know what? I'm not gonna. I'm thinking Quan or Sid here. I think the two big stars of our defense are the two safeties, and I want to go Quan, but I'm gonna go Sid. Defensive star, I'm going to go Sidney Brown because that gives me both Brown brothers on my team, and the coaches couldn't be higher on him. Ryan Walters loves him like a son. I mean, they want to design stuff on the defense like we designed for Fedge in 2015 of like, look, let him clean up every mess kind of thing. Let's funnel things to him. I mean, it's not obviously that defense, but you know, they love him like that. They love him like the 2015 defensive staff love Veg. So I am going Sidney Brown, giving me two Twins in the first three picks on my list. Sid Brown.
I wrote in my notes he's going to pick Sidney Brown. So I have Quan Martin as a potential.
Look at us. We're both sitting here thinking Quan or Sid, Sid or Quan, Quan or Sid.
Yeah. And then I'm going to go throw an Art Sitkowski type of curveball at you here.
Do it.
I was just looking at with the snaps that's coming available. I really think that they're going to end up changing a little bit of the look of the defense. I think you can't. There's not a like for like replacement for a lot of the guys that are going out there, right?
Yep.
So it intuitively tells you that D line and defensive backs are where the stars are going to be. That and defensive line, it's a little bit of a boy. That's a tough like-for-like replacement. I don't think any of those guys are going to be stars. I think they're going to be solid replacements.
Sure.
And then Sidney Brown, Quan Martin. I kind of wrote those guys down. There's your DB guys. I'm going to go back with C.J. Hart and Calvin Hart. And the reason for that is that I think the general look of the defense is going to change. We said that before.
Yep.
Or I said that before. By we, I mean me.
by we, I mean the thing that the words that just came out of my mouth.
Yeah. And since there's not a like-for-like replacement, for like Perry, Carney, and Gay, I think what you're going to see is they're going to start really using the defensive line as the really two gap players, right? Go occupy people.
What you're saying is this is what you make a play, right? Like you're putting on your coordinator hat here. I know your face. I know when you think these things. I know what you're thinking.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
I'm thinking me and Ryan Walters are on the same page here.
Yep.
But I think what you want to do is you want to put the onus on a rangy linebacker to go make some plays.
Yep.
And I think even though he tore his ACL in the first game last year, blew his ACL, I feel like Hart's that kind of guy, right? You have Calvin Avery, whoever else you got up there, Randolph, whatnot, really occupying people, and you let someone go run up and make the tackles. It's kind of what Lovey did a lot with Jake Hansen. I think they're going to probably lean into that a little bit more this year. And I think Hart's going to be the guy who's going to be a star, the type of player that we were not expecting to have a really big year this year. Because I think by and large, aside from you and I, and the fact we had him on the list here, I think people are going to forget about him. He's going to come back.
Love it. Love it. Yeah, he's the – I was very surprised to see him – you know, he got the Butkus nomination and not Tariq. You know, Tariq had the stats last year. For Hart, it's just one game he was really good, and you know, it's potential, and he was buried behind guys at NC State. I was just really surprised that he's that highly regarded, that he's on a watch list, you know, more or less based on one game. But that should speak highly of what the potential is there.
Yeah. He's one of those guys for me that just checks a lot of boxes. You talk about you know, me getting that look on my face. He's one of those guys you think about, man, there's a lot of possibilities there.
Yep.
So yep. I'm excited about him.
Okay. You also get, we're in the snake draft. So you get the defensive star. You also get first pick for offensive breakout player. This is a fascinating category.
This is a tough question. I mean,
you got your leading receiver coming back. You've got your leading tailback coming back. Your number two tailback coming back. Your number two receiver coming back. Who breaks through these breakout star rotations?
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those things you talked earlier about offensive line. Like Julian Pearl would be one of those guys, even though he started most of the year last year. Like, because of that, he's kind of not eligible, right? He's the kind of guy you'd really want to go lean into.
Yep.
You know, he's moving to left tackle. He's a great deal of the offense is going to be anchored around his ability to pass protect and continue to drive things in the run game.
Yep.
I think, though, most people are probably – so where I'm going to go with this is I think most people are looking at Luke Ford as the tight end because he's just got all the intangibles, signed his WWE NIL contract and everything. But I think the guy I'm going to lean into here is Tip Riman. UTSA just gave a ton of touches to the tight end. I'm very happy about that. I feel like I'm really checking the box here then. Ryman's the kind of guy where you're going to get – he's going to get opportunities. And he's just going to be that guy who's going to deliver on what he's thrown out there. So I'm going to go with Tip Riman. I think that's the answer for the guy who's going to break out this year.
And he absolutely qualifies because last year he had three catches. You know, like you know, he played a lot, only had three catches. You know, Barker had 20 some. So you know, it was fairly obvious that we're throwing a tight end. We're throwing to Barker and then Ford. But yeah, that would have been, it was, I feel like that's the obvious pick for offensive breakout. And I would have absolutely taken him had you not. He is who I had in pencil. So now I have to do a little bit of, you know what? I think, go ahead.
Just say, you're looking at your depth chart real quick to see who you got there.
Yeah. I've when we've done offensive breakout before, I've gone offensive. I did last year. I went with Blake Jarisotti. And so I think I'm going to go Isaiah Adams. I just think he's kind of a Swiss Army knife. He can play everywhere but center. I liked him at tackle in the spring game, and I liked him at guard when I got to see him a little bit this spring. And so, you know, it's just been a while since we had that versatile kind of offensive lineman. And, you know, given his whole journey from college in Canada to COVID shut down Canadian football, so he went to Garden City, and then suddenly he has all these offers. And yeah, I think he can be a big plug, a big gap here in on the offensive line. So I'm going, I mean, God, my list looks exactly like last year, basically. I plugged Blake Jarisotti. You know, what if we plug this guy in and he's really good on the offensive line? But I'm going, I'm going Isaiah Adams.
The thing with Isaiah Adams is, and this is the fear for me, is that he is very versatile, which kind of in my mind almost means he might end up being the sixth offensive lineman. Because of Slaughter and, is it Chrysler? Is that right?
Yeah, they pronounce it Chrysler, yeah.
Yeah, if those two guys go lock down the guard spots, then he's the perfect sixth lineman for guard and tackle, and you can rotate him through.
Yep.
I had written him down as someone to think about. What I basically said is that I'm just not sure he locks down a position.
Yeah,
I think he might be just a little too versatile, where he's just moving around too much, and he's a jack of all trades but a master of none.
Yes, it's the pitcher that doesn't have a great fastball and doesn't have a great movement stuff. He has all the pitches, but he doesn't have that dominant out pitch.
Yes.
Yeah. So I just think, again, it's hard to say what this offense is asked the linemen to do. That's probably the biggest question. Yeah. We don't know from last year to this year. Is we know how these linemen blocked in the Tony Peterson offense. We're switching things up a bit, and we just don't know. I mean, it could be like, you know, oh gosh, they don't like Pearl at tackle in this scheme. You know, they want him as more of a reach guard in this scheme. So, you know, it's like, it's hard to say if the offensive changes are going to really significantly change the offense. And so maybe that leads me to lean toward a versatile guy like Adams who can play both guard and tackle.
Yeah, and I think the interesting thing about what you're talking about there, though, is that we had three guys who are now competing for positions who we never saw in the Tony Peterson offense, right? I mean, yeah. Slaughter got hurt, so the two guys are JUCOs who are coming in. Like, it's an open question, concern. If they all come in and really perform and do what we think they can do, then it does turn into a very interesting question, because, you know, there's three guys for two spots, but the other guy's going to be the other lineman. That's kind of why I was leaning at Adams being the guy who he has a more versatile than the other guys.
Yeah.
But he may lock down like Bedanovich. Is that what is the pronunciation?
Bedovinac. Yeah, yes.
Bedovinac. There we go.
Yes.
Bedovinac, where he all of a sudden, you know, back half of the year locks down a position, and he really kind of changes the tenor of the offense. You may see that with Adams.
Okay. So here, Now I'm in a pickle, because I have a defensive breakout, and this is where we always argue. Is like, I think he already broke out. Well, no, I think he's ready. I think he's going to explode on the scene here. I'm going to give you veto power on this pick. You know what? I'm already going to veto it, because I just remember that he was honorable mention All Big Ten last year. I was going to go Spoon. I think Spoon's about to have this massive season. But and he is not known nationally. He's not known around the Big Ten. Like, this is the year he becomes a name. but I don't think that counts for defensive breakout player because he was honorable mention All Big Ten. Like, if you're on the honorable mention list, you're not really, you can't be called a breakout, I don't think.
Yeah, you're known by the coaches at that point. I don't know. I'll give it to you.
You'll let me take Spoon. That is very kind of you. You're doing this just because I took Sitkowski and Adams on my, I took risky picks already, and you want to see me at least compete, right?
No, more like I want to see Spoon Spoon live up to your pick here.
Okay, I am taking Spoon. I just, you know, I think if there's anybody who's going to Kirby, it's going to be Spoon. Like, if there's anybody who'd be like, yeah, holy crap, first team All Big Ten or second team All Big Ten? Wait, five picks? He's the guy who has that potential. I think, yes, and in the breakout sense, this is the year he becomes a household name. Becomes a Big Ten name that, like, you know, some Minnesota fan will know the name of Devin Witherspoon. Okay.
Yeah, one of those guys that whenever the opposing media members writing up the guys to watch out for, his name starts popping up.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. For the last few years, they would talk about Jake Hansen. You know, they would talk about last year got all the hype because he was second team All Big Ten because of his sacks in 2020. Coming into the year, it was like, oh, Owen Kearney at Illinois. Oh, he almost left and he came back and they talked him back in and blah, blah, blah. And he's the head of defensive end. And I think this year Spoon becomes that guy. I think this year Spoon is the revelation. Well, thank you. I appreciate your kindness in letting me take him and add him to my team as a breakout. I will do you the same kind of favor if you need it for your defensive breakout guy.
This may change my answer. So last year I chose Seth Coleman last year, and he didn't quite break out, but you know, he started.
I think we did have a rule in the past that you can't double up picks.
No. I wasn't going to double up on this. I'm just picking it. Like, so I wouldn't think he would be eligible this year for that very reason.
Yes.
And I think the answer the fan base wants to hear, which I might want to lead it into, would be Calvin Avery. I think he's just one of those guys who's going to have a monster year. I don't know if he's going to be a breakout in terms of, you know, he's going to be the guy that everyone talks about on the national broadcast. He's not going to be the guy, like, you know, players to watch, but he's the kind of guy that opposing offenses are going to have to go and really do their planning against, because I think he's going to think he's going to have a big year there. So I think if you would allow it, I would take Calvin Avery.
Yeah, I would allow that because
fifth-year,
I mean,
player.
Look, Avery in the spring game, I'm 86% certain that this is the case. I'm trying to think. I'm almost positive Avery was in blue in the spring game. Meaning
he was. Yeah, he was on the second string, yeah.
Yeah, meaning that, you know, they have all the starters in white, but then also, like, the top five backups on each side of the ball are in white in the spring game. And then they had, I think they had Virtus and T-Ra Edwards in white during the spring game. And Avery was more or less third string nose guard during the spring game. So, yes, you can absolutely pick a guy as a breakout star if he was third string in the spring and hasn't ever met. You know, you and I were together. Where was we were at Legends, on campus.
Eating fish sandwiches.
Eating fish sandwiches when a text came through saying Avery to Illinois. those were the days. God, when was that? Camp 2017 training camp.
2017.
We had gone, watched practice, and then I think we were doing this at Legends. I think we were picking our guys.
That's correct.
Okay, so there's a whole lot of synergy here going on, Craig. But, you know, all of that has led. All of these moments have led to this moment, where for your defensive breakout player, you are picking Calvin Avery.
Just so I can get it on record.
Yep.
My other guy I was going to pick was Alec Bryant.
That would be a breakout. Yeah.
If you weren't going to give me Avery, that's where I was going to go, because I think that Ezekiel Holmes is going to have a pretty good year, but they brought Bryant in for a reason. So.
Mm-hmm. I just would like to give you a little hint here. He would qualify for future defense.
I got somebody else I'm leaning into there.
Okay. Okay. Well, maybe I can steal that guy. Since I have first future defense pick. So now we go to future offense, and you have the first pick here. So future, we set the rule last year. You know, it's always been either a freshman or a sophomore. Last year there were third-year sophomores. You know, there were third-year freshmen, you know. There were third-year freshmen last year. So it could be the future defensive player could be a fourth-year sophomore if you wanted it to be, because they would qualify. You know, last year we took, let's see. Yeah, last
Reggie
year
we, Love.
Yeah, Reggie Love, Patrick Pat Bryant. Yep. Yeah. So, but I'm just noting that sophomore could actually be a fourth year player this year. But your selection, sir, for future offensive star.
I got to set some context for this one. So I chose Reggie Love last year because I thought someone behind Chase Brown was going to need to get carries.
Yep.
And I'll be honest, I had some misconceptions about Josh McCray. You know, you and I have talked about this. You've talked about it in the articles and on the site. I've talked about it just independently with you, where you look the kind of guy you're going to bulk up and make a defensive end.
Yep.
And was really surprised and impressed by him last year and what he was able to accomplish.
Yep.
With the Lunny offense, I think there's going to be another set of misconceptions in terms of how we think about players. And we're going to be talking, and I already picked one, a slot guy as your wide receiver, because we're going to think about those guys. But really where they did their damage last year was a perimeter wide receiver who's really to get one-on-one coverage and get away from the safeties and really pull things out to the perimeter. So I think Ashton Hollins is the guy, because I love the idea of a 6'5 perimeter monster out there.
I need a
the downside is,
sound.
And I'm saying future here real quick, because I'm going future because 6'5", 180-pound dudes are a little too skinny for extended Big Ten minutes, right?
Yep.
There's a reason that Carlos Sandy took as many snaps as he did last year. And he got targeted very, very few times, but dude could block.
Yep.
Whenever they decided they wanted to throw the ball deep, you saw your boy Deuce Spann get out there. So this is Deuce Spann Jr., guy who's going to be able to take the top off. Whenever you get 25 pounds on him, he's going to really be a future star. So my offensive guy for the future is going to be Ashton Hollins. I think that is the prototype of really what they're looking for long term. If he can get the pounds on and really maintain what else he's got, he's going to be something special.
Love this pick. Huge, huge fan of this pick. That pick is what the category of future offense is there for.
Taking a fourth year sophomore. I'm going true freshman. Let's make it happen.
Yes, yes. So I took my guy Pat Bryant last year, who I should know, you know, at 6'3", kind of fits that mold. I had the same thought as you. Just watch. I mean, look, we saw UTSA last year. Those three freaking receivers drove us insane. Like, it's just like, just drop a pass or something, you know. These little 7-yard routes that you can't really defend. You can't, like, it made me so angry last year. So, yes. Pat Bryant is the kind of receiver what those receivers were like, and in their, you know, athleticism and their hands and their length and everything else. So, but I can't pick Pat Bryant because I had him last year. So future offense. See, now I'm going to start to settle into, do I really do that? Do I not do that? Since I already have a lineman, I'm going to do the thing where I tell you who I kind of want to pick, like one of my guys, but I won't pick him. the guy I love is Zach Barlow. Like, I'm a huge, I've just really been drawn to him. I think he's a future anchor on this offensive line. But nobody wants to listen to a podcast or look at a list like this and hear about a bunch of offensive linemen. So I'm not going to do that. I guess I can't, you know, Josh McCray already broke out. I can't take him. I'm going to Hank Beatty. I we got to see one practice, right? He made one move, and it's just like if I was at any other practice and I was seeing another receiver make a move, then it would have been like this. But it was like one of those little Dudek hop to the outside, kind of like, whoa, he changes direction on a dime. And just that little thing, it's like, okay, I can use that. That's a guy I can figure out. So
you and I both remember the last time you were seduced by a guy from Rochester doing great things in a practice, right?
Was it Zach Grant?
No.
Oh, was it Wes Lunt?
Yeah, the Wes Lunt pass where you're like, wow, that
yes,
is...
where I weakened my knees up at Gately Stadium and I sat down.
Yes. Yes. There's three guys in the Big Ten who can make that throw.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Okay, God, look at... I said I wasn't going to be myself and be that guy. I'm like, you know what? I'm doing it. But here I am doing it.
The funniest part about this one for me is that you and I just kind of gave completely different futures for what we think this offense is going to be. I told you, I think that they're going to eventually pull away from the slot guys and go to the big perimeter guy. And then I picked immediately into a slot guy.
Yes. Now, I think he's more flanker than he is slot. He's shorter guy, but I don't think he also could be a kick returner. So yeah, maybe he is a slot.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just trying to make my case. But yes, I had to do it. It's just who I am. I can't help it. Okay, future defense. I'm glad I have the first pick because I am taking my guy. He's my guy of the month. He is the flavor. He's a guy I had 0 stars, and I gave him 3.5 cruises. No, 3.25 cruises from Moline, Illinois. My future defense is Matthew Bailey. So, yes, I have Bailey, and I have Beatty. So, I will forever be myself.
So, you're going to ask me? Going to ask you to pick Beatty for the defensive guy. For the
good point. Good point. Yes, I'm going to get my Bailey, Beatty, Beatty. Let me just note this. You ready for a hot take, Craig? You ready for a something scalding? I just want you to sit there. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about this. You tune in. Wait, are you going to Wyoming? You coming up for Wyoming or no?
I believe I will be there for Wyoming. Yes.
Okay. You get to your seat. You sit down. The Illini win the coin toss, but they defer. Illinois kicks off. You're watching the starting defense coming out on the field. They do have they have 5 defensive backs out there. They have a star. They have, Quan at star. He's not there. And you, what's that? Wait, Matthew Bailey is starting at free safety in his first game? I want you to think about it, Craig. I want you to think about what that moment would feel like. Now, look, I think he's a strong safety, so I'm drunk. I think he's, if he's not a strong safety, he's probably star next and then free safety. And we're just, they brought Kendall Smith back out of the portal to say, hey, we need you to be Kirby for a year. I get it. But what if, Craig, when you're sitting there in your seat, you see number 13 come out and start as a true freshman in his first game at safety?
Well, I've been just as surprised when Bennett Williams started.
See?
Not saying it's not possible. Yes.
I love the film. I wrote about it when I watched his film. I was like, why didn't anybody tell me about this guy? I said this is a, there's the quote in the Quad Cities paper where Ryan Walters called Bielma after going to watch Bailey work out and says, if we don't offer this guy today, we're idiots. Like, this is a future Big Ten star. We have to have him. Get him on campus tomorrow. This is a guy we have to have. And so I've been hyping since then, and I hyped at the one practice I attended, and he was the guy I wrote about, and I just have to carry that all the way forward to future defense. And if I said I gave you the first pick so that I would get first future D pick here and I could pick Matt Bailey, I would be lying if I didn't tell you that, Craig, because that's why I gave you the first pick, because there was no way I could have this team without Matt Bailey.
Here's the thing. Matt Bailey reminds me a little bit of Nate Hobbs.
Interesting.
Guy that you just kind of look at his measurables.
Yeah.
And he checks every box. And yet, you know, Nate Hobbs, I think, was going to Western Kentucky, if I remember correctly, out of Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he's a late flip to Illinois, and everyone's kind of like, oh. And then you kind of look at him, and you're like, why didn't this guy have more offers? And that's really the Bailey question for me is, was this guy really such a sleeper that everybody missed him, or is there something we're missing here?
Yeah.
And if you told me he was starting, I mean, I think it speaks more for the rest of our defensive backfield than it does for Bailey. I think Bailey's going to be a contributor either way. If he's starting, I think that tells us a story we probably weren't looking for.
Right, right. Let me walk that back here, Craig. you know, we're in the future defense category. I mean, the main reason I want Bailey is because, look, we lose if the starting if we start three safeties that are senior in Martin, Brown, and Kendall Smith, then we have to replace all three next year. And I went to that one open practice like, okay, task one, find the three safeties for next year. And I feel like I found one in Bailey. So the main reason I'm putting him on my future D is I need him to start by next year. So we got to get him prepped this year.
I'm with you. You got me a little sideways with the starting week one. So
I was just giving you just think about it. Yeah, just
a taste.
Yes, yeah. Just a little taste. Yes. First one's free.
You know, I think at the end of the day, and it's someone that I loved, if he was a Pat Nelson, where early on he's playing and really, really contributing overall to the organization and the team, I think I would be incredibly happy with everything Bailey brings to the table. So Bailey's one of those guys I had on my list. I could definitely see him being a future star.
Mm-hmm.
You have more to go on here. You've seen at least 10 more minutes of practice than I have, so I can't really go question it, but I'll give you that one.
Okay. All right. So you now get a future D pick, and then final category, you get first choice of walk-on. So who is your future defense?
Yeah, we got to walk on and steal your guy again. So defensive guy for the future.
I know you're going to take. It's going to make me so mad.
Gabe Yakus. I think that's how you pronounce that, right?
Mm-hmm. Akus. It's not Akus. Even a Y sound. It's just Akus.
Just Akus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there, you're going to need perimeter pressure here in the way this offense or defense is set up. I'm sorry. You got to start really putting some pressure on the offenses to kind of give your DBs a little bit of time. You know, you don't want to leave him out there on an island forever. He's 260 pounds coming out. That guy looks like a beast.
Mm-hmm. He looks like a junior who's spent the last 2 years working with a strength coach. Like he has the frame that the other freshmen don't have.
The pictures I've seen of him are basically Chunky Clements as a junior, right? And he's a freshman. So like just that he's fully formed, he's fully, mm-hmm. fully laid out. So I think he's going to be the guy that's, you know, you're talking about open snaps next year. I think there's going to be open snaps next year. And I think he's going to be one of the guys that's going to eat those mm-hmm. snaps and really be a huge boon to this defensive set.
God, I already like your team more than my own. And I'm sitting here picking my team. But that's okay. That's okay. I believe in what I believe and I will stick with it. I want you to talk about Gabe more, but I just want to get the next round over with because I know what you're about to do and it's going to make me so mad. So let's just rip the band-aid. Let's do it. Your choice.
Talk about the wide receiver room again.
Oh God. Damn it. You could just take him. I'll close my eyes. Just take him.
Yeah. Miles Scott. I'm very excited to see what he's going to be able to accomplish here. It's really interesting because talking about him just in general, you look at the wide receiver room we had coming back, Casey Washington, Bryant, Isaiah Williams. You've got three guys who are proven Big Ten players, and then they went you know, you had Hightower and Thompson that they brought in as transfers, you know, a couple of years ago. The recruiting that they brought in, right? You've got Beatty, Pugh, Hollins, Miller, and they go and they grab Cody Case and Jonah Moore. So they're obviously trying to get more athletic. They're trying to bring in more talent here. You just kind of look at what they've got, what they're bringing in, and then you got a guy who's stealing snaps from everybody as a, I believe, a redshirt freshman walk-on. Mm-hmm. And he just looks good. And that's...
Yeah, I mean, him starting the Rutgers game was as surprising a moment of, like, wait, what?
Wait, yeah, who? You're talking about the... you see 13 go out in the free yeah. safety position, and like, yes. oh my, that's surprising. Yeah.
Yeah.
Miles Scott starting the Rutgers game was like, wait, what?
Well, yeah.
And it's not like we did a barge package or anything. This is just the straight up offense.
Right. Yeah. This wasn't Barlev starting Penn State where they needed a seventh offensive line. This was, yes. Let's take the guy everybody has 19th on their depth chart, and he's starting in the Rutgers game. And he played at Penn State, and he played in four games or whatever. So, yes.
Played in four games, yeah. I almost felt like they held him out so they could make sure they redshirted him.
Yep.
And he was definitely the guy for me where, you know, I get out and I'm looking at the roster like, wait, who's that?
Yep.
Did someone change a number or did we do something different here? Yeah, it was a surprise to me, and I think he's going to continue to perform here. He looks like he has a Big Ten body, which for a redshirt freshman is great. And when he's a walk-on, that's just an added bonus, right? So I think they've really kind of fell into something here. And I look forward to seeing what he's going to accomplish this year.
Well, I mean, I knew – like, look, I knew it was going to happen. So, I should have – yes.
Changed the order.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, but then I would have lost Bailey. So, I can't do that. Okay. I knew it was going to happen. I have a backup pick. I have hesitated on making this pick because I haven't. So the coaches don't make public like who's walk on, who's scholarship. Mm-hmm. But while talking to this player, he told me he's walk on this semester. Like, I don't know if he'll be future scholarship or whatever. He just transferred here and we were full, but he still wanted to transfer here. I think he'll eventually be scholarship, but I know that he's a walk-on this fall, and so I'm taking Solo Turner, son of Scott Burner Turner, from when I was in school, the corner on the 93-94 teams. Solo, I like him on the field. He had a pick in that scrimmage that 11-on-11 bump drill that we got to see. Transferred here from Hawaii. Told me he did it even though we were full on scholarships. He still wanted the opportunity to come back here. He had a rough go of it. He picks Baylor out of high school, and then Matt Rhule takes the Carolina job. New coach, new scheme, didn't like it, decided to transfer, went to Hawaii. Plays 1 year, Todd Graham resigns. Now everywhere he goes, the coach immediately leaves. He played well there last year, but then they changed the defense this spring and he didn't see a spot for himself. So he looks elsewhere and takes a PWO spot at Illinois, hoping for a future scholarship. And I think we got something there. I mean, he was a pretty highly ranked player when he picked Baylor out of high school. So I'm going Solo. So Solo Turner is my walk-on pick for my team.
Yeah, he's from North Texas, and that's one of those places where they do it a little bit different than Illinois. So he was an all-district player, which is kind of a regional all-star. But he was, if I remember correctly, and this is late at night, and you're taking advantage of me because I got like 5 hours of sleep last night. I think he was more highly regarded as a wide receiver. He's like first team all district as a wide receiver and second team as a safety, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I just remember we had offered him, and we were one of his choices, but he picked Baylor.
Baylor.
I think he picked Baylor after, like, Rhule had that really good year where they went like 11-1 or whatever. I think that's when he, Yeah, I think maybe he signed there and then Rule. Maybe I have my years wrong, but you know, he fell for the local school and or he wanted to stay in Texas and pick Baylor and then off to Hawaii where he had some decent stats last year and to pick up a guy like that as a walk on, that's a good bit of business. So yeah.
I think his freshman year is when Baylor was that really good team.
Got it.
I think they went from
1-11, 6-6,
7-7, 7-6, and then they went
11-1. They just like totally flipped in 3 years or something like that. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So I think he was that 7-6 year, but the proof of principle was absolutely there. So
yep.
Yeah.
But then the coach leaves. Poor kid. He's been in like 5 schemes already. And you know, every time he picks a school, the coach leaves. Great interview with him. He's a great kid. I see big things in the future. He's another one that if we're looking for 3 safeties next year, you know, let me start with, I'm going to put Solo Turner at strong and I'm going to put Matt Bailey at free. If he's not already there this year.
If he's not. Wow. Look at that.
Sorry, it's August. Yeah. I mean, you got to let me be me a little bit.
Oh, you got to get excited.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm interested by the pick. One of the things I think is interesting for me is that he's been in schemes similar to this and wasn't really cracking the rotation. So I don't know if we got a diamond in the rough or, you know, somebody who's wildly athletic who really hasn't figured out the scheme yet, although he's got maturity on his side now, so he might be able to go learn it.
Yep.
I really thought you're going to pick your boy Dark Angel.
He went on scholarship last year. I don't know if he's still.
We do spreadsheets. All of us keep track of who's on.
Right.
If I'm doing my numbers right, there's no way he's on scholarship right now. So.
I mean, it could literally be that we were full at 85 and not at 84 because Dark Angelo has a scholarship and that meant Solo Thomas couldn't. You know, it's. Again, that could be. The staff will answer questions like, I don't talk about who's on scholarship and who's not. And so, you know, it's hard to say and we don't know and we're just speculating as to who. So, yes, I did. Because Dark Angelo was on scholarship last year and because he might be this year.
You avoided him.
I couldn't. Okay. I didn't think I could pick him. So.
Well, I mean, we cut corners on this earlier whenever I let you, get outside the realm. And then I went and picked Avery. So I guess we'll roll with it.
Yeah, our backup players are Devin Witherspoon and Calvin Avery. I'm just looking over our our choices here now that we have completed our teams. I'd like to offer you a trade, your team straight up for mine, if you could. Can I interest you in an Art Zitkowski? Let's see. Okay, Craig has Isaiah Williams, Tommy DeVito, Calvin Hart, Tip Ryman, Calvin Avery, Ashton Hollins, Gabe Akas, and Miles Scott. I have Chase Brown, Arthur Sitkowski, Sydney Brown, Isaiah Adams, Devin Witherspoon, Hank Beatty, Matt Bailey, and Solo Turner. Our guys... for so if you follow Craig, which is like at Craig IB at IB Craig at
Craig G at or at Craig GIB, I think is the
you should know your own Twitter handle, Craig.
And I don't spend enough time on that.
So Craig and I will tweet at each other during games, like my guy, his guy. So if you're not following Craig, you're not seeing me tweet at him during games. So you should. Anytime any of these 8 gentlemen will do something, or especially if Sitkowski is somehow named the starter for the opener, there will be a lot of talk of our guys.
Yeah, I may have to mute you at that point. So I'm at Craig G underscore IB. That's
at
my
Craig
my
G
handle.
Underscore IB. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And you made me get a new Twitter handle for the Heart of Dallas Bowl. that's what I came up with.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
In the press box with me at the Heart of
the press box with you. That's correct.
Was 8 years ago. Eight.
It's just day after Christmas.
Impossible.
Yep. That was amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. No. So if Artur is starting game one, I will probably have to mute you for the Wyoming game.
God, it's not like, I mean, he's my guy, and I don't even know how. Like, I've just it's just become this thing where I talk about it, and everybody's like, "Why are you saying that? Everybody else is saying something else." Oh, everybody else is saying something else. Well, listen to this.
I'm gonna lean into it.
Yes. Exactly. Okay, Craig, you said you're tired and you got 4 hours of sleep last night, so I'm going to let you go.
I'm just going to give you a hard time before we end this here real quick. So talking about your guys, and you're willing to wholesale trade your entire team for my team. So,
that's a
commitment to the bit on my guys.
That's right. That's a good point. Here's my team of guys. Would you like them? Yes. That's pretty. That's, yes. Okay. I'll wake up feeling bad about that, and I'll go buy an Art Sitkowski jersey. I'm totally in. Okay. Thanks for doing this. It was fun. We'll do it every year. Yeah. And at one of these days, all of our guys will lead us to the Rose Bowl.
I love it.
Okay.
Appreciate the time, Robert.
Thanks, Craig. Go Illini. Go.